My message tonight is taken from Genesis chapter 15, and in the first verse, the second half, we have these words: "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Now, as you listen to the reading, you may have thought, what has this got to do with the gospel and with becoming a Christian? All these ites at the end of the chapter, Kenites, Kenizzites, Cadmonites, etc. How relevant is that to me? Well, when a person is saved, they come to know God, and that's at the heart of Christianity. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And so I want to ask you tonight, do you know him? Not have you decided to follow Christ? Not have you asked Jesus to come into your heart? But have you experienced God in the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's what happened here to Abram. He had a vision. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have a similar experience, but spiritually, we need to have, either for the first time, a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, or for many of us, a new vision of Jesus. And I can see that this encounter with God is the most important event in any person's life. You see, the gospel isn't just an add-on. It's the very heart of my temporal life and my life for all eternity. Without this meeting with the Lord Jesus, I'm done. I've got no hope whatsoever. I need to be saved by him. And what we need to do tonight is to look at exactly what happens when a person has such an encounter. What do we mean when we say that we have to have a vision of Jesus in the spiritual sense? What do we do with Christ? That's what we need to look at. And there are two things here that you need more than anything else in the world. Whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, these two components of an encounter with God are the most important things in the whole of life. What are they? Well, the first is this: protection. Abram was afraid here. And I don't know every one of you extremely well. But when you do get to know a person, you get beyond the exterior, don't you? And you find maybe behind a person who seems to ooze out confidence, that in their hearts of hearts, they're just scared. Is that you this evening? I'm afraid to live. I'm afraid to die. I just do not know, when I'm left to myself, how I'm going to cope. And what you need and what I need is protection. And that's the first thing that God in Christ can be to you. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. You think of a soldier with a shield, not a small thing, but I'm imagining the film, The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, and as they were defending Helm's Deep, the soldiers had those man-sized shields that could offer complete protection. And that's what you need through this life and all of its uncertainties, you need to be kept. But, you know, that's putting the cart before the horse. What you need more than anything is protection for eternity. There's a hymn in Welsh, I'm often quoting it, a children's hymn. We learnt it off by heart as kids, talking about the Bible, and it says this, Dyma Feibl Annwyl Iesu, dyma rodd dy heilaw Duw. This is the Bible of Jesus Christ. This is the gift of God's right hand. Dengis hwn y ffordd I farw, dengis hwn y ffordd I fyw. This teaches you how to die. This teaches you how to live. If you can sort out your eternal destiny, then you are in a better position to be confident with what life throws at you. And that's what Abram here needed to see, that God offered protection, not just for this world, but for the world to come. And this is what I want to ask you this night. Are you ready to die? I'm not being morbid, am I? We've had a number of people taken from us in the past weeks, and it is as if the Lord is shaking the vessel of our church, and he's trying to get us to wake up. We've become too settled in the things of this world, and we're heading towards an eternity. And are we prepared to die? You see, I don't know if I'm ready to die. It's all right for a George Whitefield, that mighty preacher in the 18th century, to say that he wanted to be taken suddenly. He was a mighty man of God. But if we were to die tonight, how would you feel about it? Would you know if you were safe for eternity? It's so easy, isn't it, to throw jargon about and to know it up here. But do you know in your heart that it is well with your soul? I don't know if this is just me and my fears, but every time I'm going to be away the following Sunday, I tend to think that this is going to be my last Sunday in the pulpit of Heath, and that something may happen during the week. You may need to pray for my protection if I'm going up a mountain during the Bala Ministers' Conference. But seriously, if I am to preach as never to preach again, as a dying man to dying men, all I want to know, let's forget about style, I just want to take you by your lapels and have a man-to-man talk and just ask you, are you ready to go? Am I ready to go? The fact that I'm a preacher doesn't mean that everything's all right with me. Have you that protection that takes you across the river of death and lasts for eternity? I once bought a mountain jacket, Gore-Tex XCR, not just Gore-Tex, the Rolls-Royce of waterproof fabrics, but Gore-Tex XCR. You see people climbing Everest wearing such things. And you think to yourself, here's a jacket that's going to offer me physical protection from all the elements. And it's got a lifetime guarantee to it. And when I was younger, I used to think that a lifetime guarantee meant that it was forever. Well, I've not come across a person as yet who's lived in this world forever. A lifetime is 60, 70, 80, maybe 90 years. And that's it. Now, I want a protection. That's lifetime in terms of eternity. Because if it's only going to last me till I die, it's of no use whatsoever. But here God comes to Abram, and Abram was afraid, and it wasn't just circumstances that he was fearing. You see, you read a little later on when God met with Abram when he was asleep, that a horror of great darkness fell upon him. Verse 12, I know what that's like. It's the awareness of the holiness of God. Our God is a consuming fire, and I can't appear before him naked. It'll frazzle me. I'd wither and die. Eternal light, how pure that soul must be when placed within thy searching light. It shrinks not, but with calm delight can live and look on thee. Are you ready to meet with your Creator? Are you going to be naked spiritually? Or is your protection just some religious works that you've concocted over the years? Your attendance of Heath Church, maybe your membership of the church, your knowledge of the Bible, your prayer life. If that was the protection I had, there'd be no hope for me. I fail in prayer every day. Your good works, maybe. Oh, do you think that your good works will outweigh your evil deeds and that will make you acceptable to God? Do you think that the fact that you put your recycled rubbish in the right bin, that's going to please the God who is the judge of all the earth? What God wants to know from you is not how much Bible reading have you done, how much fervent prayer have you made, how often have you been to Heath Church, how good you've lived. What he wants to know is this: have you loved me with all your being, and have you loved your fellow men, even your enemies, as yourself? And if your answer is no to that, even if it's an uncertain answer, you failed. I don't know what the pass marks are these days for exams. I don't want to be offensive, but it's not 50% anymore, is it? It's a bit lower. I'm sure it is. What's the pass mark to get to heaven? 100%. You're not protected if you don't have 100% good works. Now, you're leaving me in a desperate state. Well, yes and no. I'm trying to strip you of your rags because they're no good. Even your righteousness are as filthy rags before God. Now, what is the gospel? What happens to me when I have this spiritual encounter with God? Listen, God says, I am thy shield. Did you get that? He doesn't just say, I'm going to protect you, but I myself am that shield. What is the shield that will deflect the fire of God's wrath from my naked soul? The Lord, our righteousness. Let's forget about our own good works. Let's forget about our religious deeds. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. They're dead works. I want to tell you tonight about a righteousness by God himself approved. And a righteousness that's divine. That's what Martin Luther, that monk that was over-anxious about the state of his soul, found out in lecturing on the letter to the Romans. He was in an agony over dying and having to stand before God and feeling guilty about that. And then he came to this verse in Romans 1:17, and he couldn't understand it. It talked about the gospel and about the power of it, and that in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And poor Luther was scratching his head because he couldn't see how the righteousness of God could be good news. To him, the righteousness of God was an attribute, and that made him feel worse. Because if God is just, I'm unjust. And then he saw it. This righteousness of God is not his attributes, but his gift. And it's something that Christ has done. And that's what I'm offering you tonight. When you have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are saved, when you become a Christian, it's quite simply this. There is an exchange taking place. It's not you trying to build up a righteousness. You've given up on that, and you've stripped yourself of your rags. It doesn't matter whether they're religious, even if they're reformed evangelical rags. You strip themselves off you, and you accept God's righteousness in Christ. He loved God with all his being. He loved his fellow men, and especially his enemies, as himself. And that then is counted to you. That's what Abram did, you see. Abram, we're told a little later in this chapter, believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Not his own righteousness, but the righteousness of God in Christ. This was thousands of years before the coming of Christ into the world. But the same way in the Old Testament of saving a soul, the same way in the New Testament, the same way tonight. You need protection. There's no protection that's from man. It's Christ alone that will shield you from the wrath of God. Christ took that anger upon himself on the cross. I heard once an illustration about the workers in the blast furnace in Port Talbot. Have you ever seen those steelworks at night? It's a beautiful sight, isn't it? Well, I think it is. There's something hauntingly beautiful about it when you see the flames. Now, if you were to work in that blast furnace, the temperatures are phenomenal. And you couldn't go in there, even in a Gore-Tex XCR jacket. You need something made of asbestos. That's what I've been told. I'm sure it's safe, asbestos. And this garment protects you from the heat. And that's what the righteousness of Christ does. It will keep you from the wrath of God. It's covered in his blood. His blood was shed for your sin. He's taken the curse of the broken law upon himself by shedding his blood. His righteousness is upon you. I don't know how I can explain it, but it's like this. The terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Saviour's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. That's why I'm confident of dying tonight, not because of anything I've done, but because of Christ, because of his protection, because of his death, because I'm clothed in his righteousness. It wasn't anything that I did. It was a transaction that took place. It's like going into your bank account and finding one day that you're in the red. And then you receive a gift from somebody. Wouldn't that be great? And all at once, your bank account is in credit because that gift has been transferred from their account to your account. It can happen in a moment. You know, if you bank online, it asks you if you want to do a transaction. When do you want this transaction to be done? In a few days' time. Immediately, and I always click on immediately, and that's exactly what happens when you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Immediately, a transaction takes place. Your sin is put in his account, and he pays the price because of what he did 2,000 years ago, and his perfect righteousness is put in your account immediately. There's no time lag. Isn't that wonderful? Abram here was a pagan by background. He had nothing to recommend him to God. But the moment he believed Christ, he didn't have much, did he? He didn't know what we know about Jesus Christ coming into the world and building up a righteousness by living the perfect life and dying in our place. He didn't know anything of that. He just took God at his word. And the moment he believed that, this transaction took place. Now you, my friend, know far more than Abram ever did. You know the old story of Jesus and his love. You know he die, me no more die. You know that it is not by works which man has done, but through faith in the Son of God that you're saved. Why don't you take him at his word? O perfect redemption. The purchase of blood. The vilest offender who truly believes. Do you know what comes next? That moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. That's how you are protected. Not by trying, not by spending a long time seeking, but by believing in Jesus Christ as you are. And once you know how to die, and once you're able to face God, bold shall I stand on that great day, for who aught to my charge shall lay? Once you're in that position, then you're protected through this life. You know, what are the problems of this world? If I'm right with God, no condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. It doesn't matter what life may throw at me. You know, I can cope with that difficult person. I can cope with that disappointment. I can cope with illness because I know it's well with my soul. It's like that old Ready Breck advert, you know. Because now you have Christ, it's like this glow of protection around you. Wherever you are, he's with you. I've promised never to leave you nor forsake you. Didn't we sing about that? Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose. That's what it is to believe. It's not to do anything. It's to trust in him. I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. Some of you sometimes say to me, and I say to you as well, my faith is weak. Don't you say that? In Welsh we have a saying, dal i gredi, still believing. And it's by grace that we're still believing after all these years, all these things that we've come through. Dal i gredi. But you know, it doesn't matter how feeble your hold is on Christ. Sometimes you may be holding, is it right to say, by the skin of your teeth. The skin of your teeth. There's hardly anything there, is there? Especially if you have teeth like mine. That faith is almost non-existent. You're down to the last thread. It doesn't matter. It's Christ's grip on you that counts. And even if you fall into his hands. There's a safety net here. Can I put it as strongly as this? If you're trusting in Christ tonight, if you've got this protection tonight, you're invincible. How can that be, you say? What happens if I die? I've got to die. You're immortal until your time comes. When God plans you to go, you will go, not a second before, not a second later. That's the best advice for a Christian who has to go flying. But if you're not a Christian, you see, you're not protected. Not just in this world, but you're not ready to die. You're not ready to face God in judgment. You're not ready for eternity. It's not just something interesting to become a Christian. It's something important. I don't want any of you to find yourself in hell. So that's the first thing. This isn't a small thing, is it? Protection. Divine safety. Not God looking after me, but God himself being the shield. Are you in Christ? Are you protected tonight? Are you, if you are a Christian, are you walking through this world with head held up high? Are you realizing that you're more than conqueror, not in yourself, but through him that loved you? A sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet always at hand. There are walls of salvation surrounding you. And they're not like the walls on Conwy Castle, where you're afraid of tripping and falling to your death. These walls keep me. Now, the other thing I want to mention tonight briefly is purpose. Not only protection. This is what this encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ does. It protects you forever. But it gives you purpose. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. And this is purpose. And thy exceeding great reward. There was a man called Francis Schaeffer. I don't know if you've ever read his works. I can never understand them. But he used to talk to people who were not Christians, people who'd given up on everything. And he used to talk for about 50 minutes with a person, showing how empty their life was without God. And that the only logical conclusion to a godless life was to end it, suicide. And then in the last part, he would bring Christ and the purpose that the Lord Jesus Christ, God, gives to life. And he's right, isn't he? Why are we here? Life under the sun, what is it about? The moment we're born, the clock is ticking, and we're going to die one day. What's the point of having to go through it all the problems of life? That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is all about. What's the point of even enjoying pleasures if they're going to be taken away from us after a few years? What's the point of investing emotionally in people if they withdraw from you and the aching void which that leaves? What's the point of intellectual pursuits if that doesn't really satisfy the soul? What's the point of gathering riches? The higher up I get, the more miserable I am because I'm afraid of losing it all. What's the point of working hard, doing my exams? What's going to come after that? I'm going to get a job. What's going to come after that? I'm going to have a family. What's going to come after that? I'm going to have children. What's going to come after that? Well, I'm going to get a promotion. What's going to come after that? Well, I hope I'll be old enough to retire. What's going to come after that? What's the point? It's all circular. The purposeless of life, does it not drive you insane? Does it not give you an aching feeling that does no man no good? Why am I here? Well, if you don't have Christ, there's no purpose in your life. But when a person becomes a Christian, not only are they saved, but now there's a reason for living. You see, there's a God-shaped hole in your hearts, and nothing can fill it. Not husband or wife or children or possessions or health. All of those things will one day be lost. It's the Creator himself that can fill it. And that's what happens when you believe in Christ. Not only are you safe, but now there's a direction to your life. That hole has been filled because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is there. The great Augustine of Hippo said, I like putting it like that. He said, thou hast created us for thyself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. Can I say this, my friend? If you have Christ, you've got everything. I remember driving to work every day through Llanbradach. And there was a big church in Llanbradach. I don't know if it's still standing. This was before they built the bypass. And on that church's wall, there was this notice. He that has Christ and has nothing else has everything. How can I say that? Well, Christ is the ruler of the universe. All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He holds everything. And so it doesn't matter what other blessings you are thinking that constitute life. What is it? Peace, power, health, success, family, possessions. They're all gifts from Christ. Now, isn't it better to have the giver? Because if you've got the giver, then all the gifts are yours as well. Now, the giver withholds his gifts. But if you've got the giver, then you've got life. You see, I know I'm preaching gospel message tonight, but I'll put it like this. We sometimes get into all sorts of problems because of lack of funds and things like that. We're not to concentrate on the money matters. It's the Savior that we need. If you have him, he can provide whatever your need may be. As one man puts it so well in a hymn, my every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. In him there dwells a fullness all divine, and matchless grace has made that fullness mine. Or another hymnist, Jesus, Jesus, all sufficient, beyond telling is thy worth. I am thy exceeding great reward. What's the greatest gift you can ever have in life? Is it, I don't know, winning the lottery? Or maybe getting married? Not I'm speaking from experience. Maybe that brings its problems as well. Or having a family? Or good health? Whatever it is, it's finite. But this is infinite. But if you've got everything, this is what the notice on that wall in the church in Llanbradach said. If you've got everything and do not have Christ, you've got nothing. All those things life revolves around at the moment, one day you'll have to leave them behind. There is an hour when I must part with all I hold most dear. That's all that matters. Have you purpose, my friend? That's why you need to be saved tonight, not just to be protected, but because there's no direction to your life. And what's the consequence? I'll finish here. Fear not. You may think that Christianity brings you under bondage, that Christians are killjoys. Oh, no. I don't know if I can put it like this, but in one film, there's an offer. I can't remember the colour now. You either take one tablet or you take another. And if you take a particular tablet, you just forget about reality. You just exist. But if you take the other tablet, your eyes are opened and you see the real world. Well, are you ready to take that other tablet, which may be unpleasant at first, and see that it's not just life in this world, but that eternity which you must go to, which counts, that you see that it's my relationship with God that gives purpose to my life, that you see that it's believing in Christ that gives joy, that all the other pleasures that people have are a cover for the emptiness that they have inside. That's why there's the morning after. You see, every pleasure that unbelievers have is like a drug. It's there to divert their attention from these things. And you're afraid. You're afraid to die. You're afraid to live. Why delay? Why not just come to Christ? Swallow your pride. Just come as you are. I'm admitting to you that I have my doubts as to whether I'm saved sometimes. I'll join with you. Why don't we both just come? Nothing in our hands bringing, simply to that cross clinging. And then if you have him as your protection and as your purpose, fear not. God doesn't deal with you as a unit. I still remember as a school teacher being number 59. I don't know if the head teacher knew my name. I was number 50, as a teacher now, not as a pupil, number 59. We don't read here, do we? Fear not, 59. Fear not, Abram. Fear not, whoever you are, if you're Christ's. He knows his sheep by name. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Can I just ask you, have you had an encounter spiritually with Christ? I'm not asking if there's been flash of lights, if there's been thunder, if there's been electricity. I'm just asking, have you realized that you need protection and that trusting in him alone gives you that righteousness, that pardon, and then that there's purpose and that we serve a risen Saviour, and he's in the world today. May God give us this hope for his name's sake. Amen.